Hi guys, welcome back to the Business Breakthroughs Podcast. I'm very excited. I have a celebrity guest, you guys. You know her. I've been watching her on Survivor. I was talking to Matt before this. I was like, I feel like I have a celebrity like friend, like internet friend now. We're not here to talk about Survivor though. We're going to talk about email. Your favorite Survivor / email marketing coach is here, Liz Wilcox. Hello, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I need to be on the show every day for the ego boost. Wow, I was feeling down, but now I'm feeling up. Thanks, Faith. What up, friends? It's Liz Wilcox. Yep, I was on Survivor, but my main thing, the thing I really, really love is electronic mail, and I can't wait to talk about that today.
Yeah, I have lots of questions for you. I want to talk to you about all the email things. You've been on the show a couple times before, but do you want to give everybody a rundown? There's a lot of new people around Faith Mariah land and people that might not know who you are. So tell everybody a little intro to Liz and your journey and kind of what you do now.
Yeah, I'd love to. I think I'm like a D- celebrity, so I still need to intro myself. Thanks, Faith. You know, it's like D- at this.
My ADHD is way too raging to intro guests. So it's like, if I intro you, who knows what we'll end up talking about.
Okay, well, I'll do the intros. You sit back and relax and just be the beautiful host that you are. So what up? I'm Liz Wilcox. I think we've established that. And I actually started off in the online business space as an RV travel blogger. And, you know, I would listen to podcasts like this one, and everybody and their mother said to build an email list, right? It doesn't matter if you're a blogger, you're an e-commerce shop, a coach, whatever, you know, everything leads back to the email list. So mama didn't raise no fool. The day I launched my blog was the day I launched my email list, and I got really good at writing to my list, you know, speaking to them on a consistent weekly basis. And then I did the thing everybody tells you to do, right? I launched my first digital course. I had done a couple side products, you know, to build up to the big digital course. And after a few years, I launched the digital course. I did a typical Monday through Friday launch. At the beginning, I had 141 people on my wait list. And on Friday night, I had made 141 sales. So if you're not, wow. Yeah, if you can't see, Faith, right? But she's wow. But I didn't know that that was anything exceptional. I thought, yeah, of course they indicated interest. Why wouldn't they buy? Right. And, word got around about it. And that's when I realized like, oh, wow, I'm doing email in a different way. And I need to, you know, enough with the RVing, I need to go full time and teach my email marketing strategies. So that was like December 2019. You know, yada, yada, yada. I opened up a $9 a month membership, you know, sending out weekly templates. I now have almost 5,000 people in the membership. And I teach email because I love email. Faith and I have a very similar background. Like, we grew up poor, you know, without our businesses. We both live in Florida, and she said it before, like, I don't know how people are doing it. Like, if I was the Liz I was 10 years ago, I would be in big trouble. You know, if I was the Liz without her business, whew, it would be really rough out here. On these in real life streets. So email changed my life, and I wanted to change your life too. That's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, I love that. Well, yeah, I definitely resonate with your story a lot. Matt and I talk about that all the time as we're traveling, just like, how are people like eating food? And like, it wasn't that long ago, you know, he just finished law school, has only been out a couple years, and I've only had my business like profitable, making the kind of money we're making now for a couple years. And so for us, it was not that long ago, and it has got a lot rougher. So I'm with you. I think marketing is really, really important for people to learn. And hopefully it can be like it was for us, like a bridge into a better situation for people. I want to hear your best sales tips about email after that. Like, that is 100% conversion rate off a wait list. I don't even think I've ever even heard of that. And I talk to a lot of people in business all the time, and I've coached a lot of people, and that's pretty exceptional. So I definitely want I'm going to ask your sales tips now. So what do you think is the difference between when you're working with clients and they're sending out emails and they have great products, right? I'm sure you see it all the time. I see people that have great products, but they're not always great at selling them, right? And they just can't get people to buy versus the people like you that are able to just send emails and people buy their stuff. What do you think the main kind of differences are, and what are some things you think people should consider when they're writing their sales emails?
Yeah, so a lot of people think of themselves as, oh, I'm B2B or I'm B2C. But really, when it comes to especially email marketing, you've got to be H2H, human to human. I think the only difference between, my results and your results are how human do my subscribers think I am, right? Because I'm literally 100% human. My ex-husband thinks I'm an alien, but I tell you I am an earthly being. I'm an earthling. And when you email, even on social media, everything, like you're speaking to a human. Even if you're business to business and you work with corporate clients, it's still a human reading that email. So how relatable can you become to them? How much it's like, it's not, Faith Mariah, the business owner, sending you an email. It's, oh, Faith Mariah, I saw her in Arizona a few weeks ago. Now she's, in California. Will she go to Washington next? I don't know, right? Let me open up the email and see what's going on. It's really about making that human to human connection. I think Mike Kim says it best. When it comes to sales, it's not about closing the deal. It's about opening a relationship. And this isn't like a tactic that you can do right here, right now, but over time, and Faith Mariah will tell you, like, it's of course, a long-term game. Marketing is always long-term, right? It's how much work are you willing to put in to gain a relationship, to create a relationship, to sustain and maintain that relationship with your subscribers so that when you say, hey, I've got this course for you, I have this program, they know immediately, yes, this is for me, or no, not right now.
Something I hear a lot that I'm really curious to hear your opinion on. I've been hearing this a lot lately. So, in my community, we've been doing a lot of like summits and bundles, and then people get really good results from them and they go on to host them. But something I'm hearing from people rattling around now is like, well, I'm building a list of freebie seekers. They don't want to buy, they just want free stuff. What are your thoughts on that? Is that something we should be concerned about? How you avoid that? Do you think about that at all when you're doing your email?
Yeah, I definitely do. So when you are creating a lead magnet, like how to avoid a few ways to like avoid those freebie seekers or kind of weed them out or change their mind. Well, number one, it's your lead magnet, right? Like making sure that that's perfectly aligned with where you're taking them. I always say, think about the vision you have for your clients. If they're graduating from, Liz Wilcox University, what's the degree I'm handing them? For me, it's make money with email. So go all the way back to the first day of class, right? We begin with the end in mind and then go all the way back to the first day of class. Okay, well, what's the first thing they need or what's the first resource I need to give them? Mine is a welcome sequence, right? And so right off the bat, you're getting people kind of, on the bus, in the lane, into class. So they're already on their way. And then the second thing is when they join your list, making as whether it's a bundle, a summit, whatever, just making sure you flip the switch from I got something for free to, oh, Liz Wilcox is a business that offers real solutions for me. And you can do this really, really simply in your welcome sequence, in those onboarding emails, however they're coming onto your list. Say this. I'm going to offer you free and paid resources, free and paid services, programs, products, whatever word you want to use. And I know you're driving or doing the dishes, but that's so simple. Commit it to memory, put it in your welcome sequence later. It's going to flip that switch. I'm going to offer you free and paid products. It flips the switch from, oh, I just got this thing for free in the bundle to, oh, they offer real solutions. Now, when you say this, you might get some unsubscribes, right? Especially, if you're doing bundles or summit. Oh, I just signed up for that one presentation, or oh, I got a few things. I'm not sure which one I'm really into right now. It flips the switch so that if they're not ready for a real solution, they'll unsubscribe. And guess what? That's actually a good thing because you pay per subscriber, right? So you don't want those freebie seekers on your email list.
Yeah, I love that phrase. Everybody write that down. I really think that speaks to your human-to-human stuff too, right? It's like just tell people, this is what I do. I'm going to give you free and paid resources. This is what to expect. And just kind of comes down to like managing people's expectations, right? Because if you never, one of the things that I see a lot is people don't want to say like they sell things, right? They like, and it can become kind of almost sneaky feeling in the email where it's like, oh, I'm going to give you free stuff. I'm going to give you free stuff. I'm going to give you free stuff. Let me like sneaky kind of talk about a paid thing. Oh, and now I'm like mad at my audience because they're not buying from me.
Yeah,
Right? But
you want to set the expectation the same way. Let's go back to university or high school. The first semester, the first day of class, what does that professor or teacher hand you? A syllabus, right? An entire outline of the course, what assignments, the due dates, etc., right? They set expectations. So you've got to do that too. A third thing you can do to get rid of those freebie seekers or to even just, change their mindset around what you offer is to have a tripwire, right? Something when they sign up for your email list, it automatically goes to a sales page for a limited time, usually low cost offer, right? And that again, it just flips that switch in the back of their mind to, oh, yeah, sure, I got this for free, but this is a real solution to my problem. And people know freebies. I mean, they're kind of solutions, right? Like we're going to get them on the path. They can help. You shouldn't have a freebie that's just garbage. But you and I both know like customers are going to, create real action and real results, right? So offering that tripwire, that small, low cost product versus the freebie, if I pay for something, even if it's only $7, I'm way more likely to use it than the freebie. So that's another great way to make sure people are, off the fence, even if they don't buy right now, off the fence of, oh, I'm just gonna, get them for all it's worth without spending a dime sort of mentality.
yeah, I'm glad you brought up the tripwire because the other thing I hear from people a lot is kind of like this idea. It's almost like this idea that the free stuff is like how you build relationships and that's like helping people. And then the paid stuff or like asking for a sale, that's like almost like they, I think a lot of people almost see it as like damaging their relationship with their email list, right? So I almost feel like some people are like, oh, I've got to give all this free stuff, right? And then I can like ask a little, but it's almost like that's gonna take the goodwill away or like damage that relationship with their email list. How do you think about sales emails? What do you think
Yeah.
about that?
So I teach something called the email staircase. First, you've got a follower, right? Listen to a podcast, they follow you on Instagram or whatever. Get those followers on your email list. When they're on your email list, to your point, turn them into friends, right? People that you have something in common with. This isn't your friend, that you travel the world with. This is your friend that you have, this niche interest, right? Like I'm an email marketer. We both want to know about email. And then to solidify the friendship, not to diminish it, to solidify the friendship, you take them into customer. Okay, so that's follower, friend, customer. And here's what I hope, will help you change your mind about, oh, this is going to diminish or make the relationship gross if I ask, for the sale. A lot of people think that if you can create a community, whether that's, your email list, social media, Facebook group, whatever, when you create a community, the customers will come. But it's actually the opposite. When you create customers, the community builds itself. Because here's the thing about customers, they do three things. Number one, they invest, right? And you can't keep giving away free stuff if nobody ever pays you, right? You cannot serve if, you don't serve yourself breakfast first, right? So you need to get paid. So customers invest. After they invest, they take action, right? And that's what we need our people to do. We need them, to write the emails, to sell their, whatever, like whatever your thing is, right? For me, back in the day, RV travel, I needed them to get in an RV one day. That's what they said they wanted, right? And so again, They invest, they put money up front, they take action because they've invested. And when they take action, they see results and they share with a friend, right? The majority of my members come from affiliates, come from people that, share the word, right? And so that's how the community is created. If you try to do it the other way, if you just try to create this large email list where you're giving away things for free, where you're, doing the absolute most, you're the most extra person in the inbox, right? The community isn't really there because there's no incentive to take action. There's no incentive to say, hey, Liz, I know this awesome person over here. You should take a look, right? But when they invest, when they take action and they see results, they're more likely to share. So don't be worried about sales diminishing your relationship. In fact, sales strengthen your relationship with your subscriber, create community, and actually grow into more sales and better community.
I love that idea of like customers create community. I've never heard anybody say it like that, but it's definitely been true in our business too. I have a largely referral-based business. We're just now starting to mess with ads and that kind of stuff, but it's like I'm not very good at them. So it's like a very small part of our business right now. I want to hear your pet peeves. What are like your marketing pet peeves right now in email or anything online where you're just like, I can't wait for this phase to be over, or something where you're like, I wish everybody would stop doing this. You have any like marketing pet peeves?
Yeah, my biggest pet peeve, and this is where I'm going to be burned on the marketing stake one day, I think. I'm not a huge fan of storytelling. Like, get to
Oh, say
the
more. This
point.
is a hot
Get
take. Hot takes here
right.
on the pod, you
It is
guys.
the hottest take. It's so hot they're burning me on the stake for it. So, storytelling, yes, it absolutely works. There is a reason why people pay millions and billions of dollars for Super Bowl ads, where you barely even see the product, right? It's like, wait, what was that selling? Storytelling definitely works. And I'm not saying never use it, but especially with email marketing, it shouldn't be your only tactic for connecting with your audience. There's, at the end of the day, like it's a newsletter, not a novel. And you want to respect your person's inbox. Your person's inbox is insane, right? They probably have 30,000 unread emails, and you don't want to be the, 30,001th, right? Or whatever the word is. And so when you can respect the inbox, when you can get in there, get to the point and get out, when you have a story to tell, they're more likely to read it. But if, on the flip side, if you just follow this generic advice of telling a story every single email, number one, if you're not a very good storyteller, people aren't going to want to read it. Number two, if you work like the rest of, or most of us, we work with busy people. Unless you're working with retirees who are bored to death, your ideal customer is likely very busy. And if you send this 500 to 1,000 word story every single week, after a few weeks, if I'm really busy, oh, I know it's a story, I'll get to it later. And later goes to page two, goes to never, right? And so don't feel like you have to tell stories, especially in every single email. Keep it straightforward, to the point, more of that direct, hey, this is what I want you to take a look at. Hey, this is what I want to teach you today. Hey, this is what I have for sale. And then when you have a story to tell, when you really, you've got this really juicy message, they're more apt to read it because you respected their time in the inbox beforehand.
I love that. I want to hear your take on what do you think about short emails then? Because another thing I hear a lot is people get very overwhelmed by their email. I love that you said, what did you say? They're like, it's not a novel, it's a newsletter. That's such a good
Right.
thought for a lot of you guys listening. If you're feeling like, I don't know what to write, and the newsletter email stuff is very stressful. I think a lot of times it's because people create these like email pressure cookers for themselves, right? Where it's like, I have to say something very clever and very important in this email, and every email needs to be really, really good. And obviously, you don't want to be sending junk, right? And you want your stuff to be good, but then we don't want to create the email pressure cooker where you feel like, I must say something very smart and profound in every email I send. Like, how do you help people balance the quality between just being able to get it done and not feeling so overwhelmed by it?
Yeah, well, number one, just give your permission or give yourself permission to deviate. What you did last week is not what you have to do this week. In fact, that's what you should do. Remember, the inbox is the exact same as the mailbox. I go out to the mailbox, like, oh, that's a bill, that's junk, you know, those are coupons. Oh, Liz Wilcox sent me something. Oh, that's weird. Let me open it. I wonder what she has to say. If you go to the mailbox the next day and you have, oh, that's a bill, that's garbage. Oh, Liz sent me something again. Let me open it. That's weird. And if I sent you the same thing I sent you yesterday, you'd be like, oh, okay. And you'd probably toss it. Then you go to the inbox or the mailbox the next day. I send you the exact same letter. You probably won't open it. You know what? Actually, I think I know what's in there. I'll open it later. And it goes in the junk drawer with the rest of them, right? We act the exact same in our inbox, right? Oh, that's a bill. That's on auto pay, archive. Oh, that's junk, Marcus spam. Oh, Faith Mariah emailed me today. I wonder what she has to say, right? If she emails you the same sort of formatted type of email every day or every week, 3-4 weeks, by the fourth or fifth week, oh, I know what's in that. I'm not going to open it today. I'll save it for later. We don't ever want it. Someone to say, oh, I'll save that for later. We want them to open right now. And so it's not about a certain length or style. It's just about varying your content. Be predictable. Oh, I know who that is, but not, or I'm sorry, be familiar. I know who that is, but not predictable. I know what's inside. We never want them to know what's inside, right? We want them to, oh, I wonder what's inside. So you want to vary the content. Have something super short, you know, 100 words. Then maybe the next week you tell one of those stories you've got. Maybe the next week, you know, you curate some content. Maybe the next week, you know, it's like 400 words into your new podcast episode, right? You want to vary the content so you're familiar. Oh, I know who Liz is, but you don't ever want to be so predictable that they say, oh, I know what's inside. You know, I'll open that later.
Yeah. Is your recommendation still like a weekly newsletter? Is that what you recommend people start with? Is like a once a week kind of?
Yeah, email? I think that's a general good rule of thumb. Of course, it really depends on your audience, your capability, your capacity. You don't go to the gym and, you know, do one set of ab exercises and walk out with 6-pack abs. The same way, if you're like cringing at the thought of emailing once a week right now, just, you know, once a month right now, but really work up to that once a week, because that I think is the real way that you can, you know, turn those followers into friends. You can show just how invested you are in your reader. And no one's going to invest in you if you don't invest back, or if you don't invest into them first. Emailing once a week also makes you relatable. It's enough content to, oh, I know who Liz is. I know who Shahar is. I know who Warren is, right? Once a week is a good touch point. And then, of course, once a week helps you stay top of mind so that when they are actively looking for that solution, oh, yeah, I'm finally going to get my act together when it comes to email. Well, if I haven't emailed you, you're going to look for another solution. But if I'm emailing you once a week, oh yeah, Liz Wilcox, she's got that membership. I'm going to go check that out.
Oh my gosh, these are such good tips. I feel like I could talk to you about this stuff all freaking day. I want to talk to you about the human piece you were talking about in the beginning. So another thing I hear from people is like, oh, that's fine for Liz to be quirky or Faith to be quirky or whatever, but they have businesses, they've been online for a long time. I really want people to see me as like an expert and take me seriously. And I don't want to be talking about, I don't know, what my dog ate this morning or like what ridiculous thing happened in my life. How do you advise people like walk that line between being a professional and having a business and being taken seriously and being someone people will buy from versus like sharing those more human elements and like the real struggles we all go through and all those types of things?
Yeah. So I recommend you insert three things. And this is going to help with that relatability piece of that, oh, I know who she is and I like her. The first thing is a little bit of personality. And you do not have to have Liz Wilcox personality to have a personality. I know you are a person, therefore you have personality, right? That's literally the word, isn't it? Right. And so this is just surface level personality. This isn't, getting into all of those things. Some copywriters are really good at delving into their entire life and they'll tell you anything and everything. You do not have, that's their personality. If you are more reserved, just say that, right? But the surface level personality is, as simple as what do you like to drink? What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of shows do you watch on TV, right? Very surface level. You can get deeper if and when you ever become comfortable doing that. But for right now, like a lot of people know, oh, Liz loves the 90s, and she's got a really weird sense of style, right? Like that doesn't actually tell you anything about Liz Wilcox. That doesn't mean you can come into my home or have a 5-hour conversation with me and, we're soul aligned or whatever. But I love the 90s, and I'm probably wearing tie-dye at some point in the week, right? And so just going into that. And then in your emails, sharing your vision, right? So a lot of people might think, oh, I need to connect by all these personality pieces, but really connecting by sharing your vision. I already told you mine. I want you to make money with email marketing. I don't care about your podcast. I don't care about your Facebook ads. I don't care about what you wear, whether or not you're doing tie-dye or not. All I care about is your email list being monetized, right? We have a mutual vision because if you're on my email list, you care about that too, right? Back in the day in my RV travels, all I cared about was that you got on the road full time, right? You were a full-time traveler. That's all I cared about. And so what is that vision you have? And sharing that in your emails is really important to make that human-to-human connection. The last thing, so we already said personality and vision. The last thing are your values. And no, this does not mean spew your politics and, tell everyone who you voted for, but there are certain values, certain principles that drive the way you do business, drive the type of clients you want, right? Share that in your emails. One of my values is inclusivity. I have a background in education. And one of the very first things that I learned was that everyone has a right to an education. And if you don't believe that, you shouldn't be pursuing this degree. And so one of the values I bring from that is, the inclusivity and why my prices are so low. It's not because it's garbage. It's because it was hammered into me, in my college days that everyone has a right to an education. Therefore, my prices are low. That's something I share often with my audience. So, a little bit of personality can be surface level. Sharing the vision you have for people and sharing some of your values, that's what is going to create that human to human connection that we've been talking about all day.
Damn, that was such a good answer. I feel like I need to like give you a round of applause. I love how you put that. I love the part about sharing the vision and everything.
And
Seriously,
my
that's
Venmo
incredible.
handle is, no, I'm joking.
Yeah, everybody tip. Everybody send Liz a tip. That was really good.
This tip culture is out of control, Liz.
Have to ask you, there's been a lot of rattling around the mastermind with the Google updates. It feels like the last year, it feels like it's been going on.
Totally.
But I'd love to hear, do you have any tips about like best practices? What should people do to be staying out of the dreaded promo tab? For those of you guys who don't know, there's a tab on the Google inbox that's like promotions, and a lot of newsletters will get sent there instead of the inbox. How do you stay in the inbox tab? Do you have any hot genius
Yeah.
tips about that?
I have a hot take. I have another hot take. You heard it here
Okay.
first. If you're driving, pay close attention. I don't
Buckle
want you to
up,
veer off the
everybody.
road. Yeah, buckle up. Make sure you're buckled for this. If you have a business and you're sending emails and you land in the promo tab, guess what? Google did its job. You are literally promoting. Like, promo tab is not actually a bad thing. But I will tell you, most Google users don't use the promo tab. I don't use it. I don't know if you use it or you use it. But if you end up there, actually Google did its job and like hashtag get over it. But of course there are ways to do your best, we'll say, as far as getting into the inbox. It's really the spam or the junk folder we don't want to get into. And so number one, making sure you get everything verified. So it's 2024 at the time of this recording. Some best practices are now going to be like must-have practices. So I'm talking about things like DKIM, SPF, DMARC. You can Google those. We won't waste a lot of time with the techno mumbo jumbo of it all. But just making sure you have those ducks in a row. It's basically like, you need a license to drive a car. Now they're basically saying, you need to be certified and stamped to send emails. It's not a bad thing. It's a little technical, but you can do it, I promise. Number two is making sure you get replies. Replies are like the gold star of emails. So in your welcome sequence, this is how you get replies. In your welcome sequence, in the first email, maybe the second and the third also, ask a very simple yes or no question. And yes, I don't like to tell people what to do, but this has to be a yes or no question. And it has to be very, very simple, like as easy to answer as what's your name, right? In the PS of your first email, second, third, PS, do you have A or B? Yes or no, right? Like for me, I ask, do you write a weekly newsletter? Hit reply, yes or no. This is a question that you can answer directly right off the front of your brain. You don't have to think about it. If I asked you, do you like sending emails? No, that's too complicated of a question for right off the bat for starting the friendship, right? These people aren't our friends yet. We're just starting the friendship. And so, if I asked, do you like writing emails? Well, I mean, sometimes, that one time I wrote one email I liked, like it's not a very simple question. So asking, like, or even have you ever sent an email? Yes or no. When I had my RV travel blog, it was, do you currently own an RV? Yes or no. Hit reply. And these replies, again, they're like gold stars. They're like worth 10 green flags to the internet gods, right? And the more green flags you can collect, the more you're going to land in the inbox, the more your deliverability is going to be, A plus. You're like J-Lo in 1999. You are getting into any club ever. Okay. So when you get all those replies, you're going to get in the inbox much faster, more frequently, et cetera.
I love that. And then I have to ask you about the click-through rates. So I polled everybody. I was like, what do you guys want me to ask Liz when I talked to her? They were like, we want to know the secrets to getting people to click our links. So what are your hot takes, hot tips on getting people to click the links in your email, assuming they're opening them, because we're being human, we're sharing vision, we're sharing values, we're doing all the things, and they're opening the email. But then how do I get them onto the sales page, Liz? Tell me the secret.
I know. It's rough out here. Well, number one, just what I said, getting replies first. Because remember what I quoted Mike Kim earlier, and I said, it's not about, closing a sale, it's about opening up a relationship. So when you get those replies, you can open it up. No, Liz, I don't currently own my RV. What? Oh my gosh, if you need help, check out this blog post. Boom, they're starting to click already, right? They can't believe they actually got a reply from me because that doesn't happen a lot, right? You're not emailing your utility bills and they're not, replying back. It's usually like this inbox cannot receive, whatever, like do not reply at gmail.com type of stuff, right? And so when you reply, it's going to open up that relationship so that they click later. And so that's my number one piece of advice. Now, what do you do after the fact, right? There are a few different little tactics we can try. Number one is to make sure you have more than one click. Again, okay, this is where like I'm really starting to get on fire at the marketing stake. Usually you hear, one email, one job, one thing to click. But variety is the spice of life, baby. You know, there were five Spice Girls because there's lots of different kinds of, you know, things that people like. Scary Spice was my fave. My sister was Sporty Spice. My best friend was Baby. You know, we like all sorts of things. So even though I signed up to learn, let's say, about RV travel, I might not be in the same place as someone else. So if you're constantly sending me things that are designed for people that are already out on the road, but I'm only halfway to getting there, I'm not gonna click on anything. But if you send me an email with, you know, oh, here's a link to, you know, a purchaser's guide, or, you know, here's a link to a campground, here's a link to this other thing, I'm gonna find one of those clicks appealing, right? One of those links appealing, and I'm gonna click. So making sure probably at least once a month you are sending out, you know, several pieces of content at one time is a really good way of getting your click rate up. The second piece of advice is make sure your hyperlink is long. Don't say, you know, click here for XYZ and you only hyperlink the word here. You want to hyperlink the whole sentence. You want at least, I'd say, five words hyperlinked so that it makes the brain slow down. It catches the eye and they actually click. It's not easy to roll over. Also, buttons can help, right? If you create a button instead of a sentence, that's another great way. And if you're really trying to get your click rate up, don't send emails without things to click on.
Yeah,
Simple as that.
good
Those are
tip.
my
That's a good tip.
tips. You heard it here first.
And then what about subject lines? Do you have any favorite tips for subject lines? That was the other thing people were wanting to
Yeah.
ask you about.
Well, and here's a hot take. The subject line don't matter, honey. It's the from line. Make sure you
Ooh.
are doing all the things we've talked about the last 30 minutes, making sure you're human to human. People know a little bit of your personality. They know the vision. They're aligned with your values. Because then, if it's from Faith Mariah, it doesn't really matter what the subject line says. She could forget to put a subject line. You listen to her podcast, you probably open her emails, right? It's the from line that is most important. The set or the subject line comes secondary. So, of course, I've got some tips for you there. Really, you want to write your email first. And then, like, what is the gist of it? If you were just sending it to me, or you were just sending it to, you know, your buddy Nahaku, what would you write in the subject line to make sure that they see it and they open it? Write the subject line from that point of view, from the po point of view of a friend. So, for example, if I was sending out this podcast interview, you know, and something happened before the podcast interview, I might say, like, you know, oh, my mic went out, but we recorded anyway, or something like that, right? Or I might say, you know, the three things I want you to know from this podcast episode. But writing it from a friend, like if I saw this podcast on Facebook and it was one of those pieces of content I told you to send out, I might say, you know, found this on Facebook and thought of you, right? Things like that are really going to help you. But in the end, focus more on creating that relationship that we've been talking about this whole time versus getting your subject line right.
I love that. These are great tips. I've got one more question to ask you before I let you go. I appreciate you so much for sharing all this really great information. Like so many hot takes, so many hot tips, all the things. I can't wait for everybody to listen to this. But I have to ask you, what do you think about imposter syndrome? So the other thing I hear a lot is like, well, I want to send an email, but mine aren't as good as so and so's, or Jessica writes the best emails, and I really want to send emails like that, but mine aren't as good, and my stuff will never be as great as that. How do you advise people that just feel like, I don't know if I'm good enough, Liz, to be in the inbox? I don't know if I'm good enough to like send the emails. Like, how do you advise people that are having those kind of feelings? Did you ever have those in your business when you started?
Yeah, of
And what do you
course.
advise people to how to deal with that?
Listen, the truth is, and I say it with love, you might not be good enough right now, but you got to start somewhere, honey. You know, like, you know, you got to start swimming at some point. But here's the thing. If you're finding that your imposter syndrome is so overwhelming or such that it's stopping you from doing something, I want you to start to follow a low information diet, please hit that unsubscribe button fast. Like you're in Family Feud and, you know, your cash prize money is depending on you hitting that button. The more you follow people and you start, oh, I'm never going to be as good as so-and-so. The second you get that feeling, you scroll all the way down and you hit unsubscribe. I follow a really low information diet. Like I haven't watched the news in, I think, almost 15 years because it makes me feel bad. And guess what? I'm probably going to learn anyway what's going on because I did mention earlier, I am an earthling, contrary to popular belief. I do live on this planet and I was born here too. You know, you're going to learn, you're going to see different methodologies, you're going to be on social media. You don't have to have everyone on your email, like inside your inbox. So please hit that unsubscribe button. And just remember, like, it's okay to not be perfect yet. Maybe we could even say, you know, everyone's an imposter until things start popping off, right? But you've got to believe it until you become it. It's not about faking it until you make it. It's about believing that, yeah, I'm not good enough right now, but if I keep going, I will be one day. So it's about believing it, believing that that outcome is possible for you until you become it. Because right now, you know, I didn't believe I was ever going to be a good email marketer. You know, I felt that way, but I said, you know what? If I just start sending these weekly newsletters, one day, maybe I'll become that. And guess what? It actually happened, right? So it's not about faking it till you make it. I think when you try to fake it, that's when the imposter syndrome comes in, right? Because it's like, I know I'm faking it. But if I just believe it, then I can start to take action and one day I'll become it. So believe it until you become it, baby.
I love that. Yeah. We always talk in the mastermind about being willing to just be a beginner. And I'm like, no matter what you want to do, just be willing to be bad at it. Like, just don't try to write a good email, write a beginner email. I'm like,
amen. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that so much. Yeah. Y'all listen, just go for it. The chances are you don't have thousands of people on your email list right now. And so, you know, it's okay to mess up. It's okay to get sloppy. It's okay to write a bad email. It's okay to get unsubscribes because you just one step in front of the other, you know, lay one brick at a time. You know, one day you're going to have that amazing foundation and people that love you, people that consented to your email marketing, and people that want to hear from you.
Yeah. That's awesome. So before I let you go, we have to talk about this membership you have. I want you to tell everybody about your email membership because I think the offer is just so good. So many people in the mastermind, in my mastermind, are also in your membership and they love it and they're always telling each other to join. So tell everybody a little bit about the membership, what it is, where they can find it, what's inside, all the things.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I love my membership and I will shamelessly promote it right now. The same way you listening, you should go out and shamelessly promote something of yours today, even if it's just your freebie or whatever. Okay. So my membership is called Email Marketing Membership. Shout out to SEO and the gang. It's it's $9 a month and I send you a weekly template. Every single Monday morning, 5 a.m., you get it delivered right to your inbox. Remember how we talked about all those things about showcasing personality, vision, values, showing that you're invested, becoming relatable, staying top of mind, all the, you know, the email staircase, follower, friend, customer, all of that. I know it can feel really overwhelming, but when you join Email Marketing Membership for $9 a month, I pretty much do all that stuff for you. I'm sending you weekly newsletter templates that have that vision built in, have the values, showcase personality. You just fill in the blanks. Of course, eventually one day, I hope you don't need the membership and you can do it all on your own. But I'm not only just giving you templates. Every week, I'm doing the marketing for you. I'm doing the how do I connect? How do I do that H2H, human to human stuff, that's baked into every single template. All these methodologies that I talked about are simply baked in. Whether you start with today's template or you go back to 2 years ago template, because you get the entire library when you sign up, it's all baked in and they are designed in which you can do week by week, or you can bounce around because it's all the same methodology. You also get once a month Q&As, once a month tech Q&As. So if you've got a problem with your ConvertKit account or your Zapier or whatever, we've got you covered there. There's an amazing Facebook group. And I swear there's probably something else. Oh, there's sales emails in there. There's the emails are divided by click rates, reply rates, pre-launch strategy. I just added an entire pre-launch 7-week sequence mini course in there.
So
yeah,
cool.
it's got a sales sequence in there. I mean, it's on and popping out there. It's $9 a month, EMM, email marketing membership. Why not try it? Yeah, you know, go out there and be more shameless in your marketing. Hopefully this was a good example of that.
Yeah. So if you guys want to get Liz's templates, you have to get in that membership. And then you don't have to think about what to send every week because she sends you the template every Monday. It's such a good idea for a membership. I mean, I'm like, that's definitely going to save you guys $9 worth of time. It's definitely going to cost you way more than that to hire somebody to write email for you. Trust me. So I would definitely get in Liz's world. Thank you so much for being here and sharing so much with us. I really, really appreciate you. I know people are going to love this episode. We'll put all your links below. Do you do social media? You're on Instagram, right? Is that your
yeah,
main?
Yeah.
Where should we
so
stalk you online?
I mean, number one, join my email list. You know, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't mention go directly to LizWilcox.com. There's a hot pink button. You can get welcome sequence swipes, 3 newsletter samples from the membership, and 52 subject lines for free. You can also check me out over on Instagram at the Liz Wilcox, THE Liz Wilcox. Normally, I just share stories about email marketing and at the time of this recording, Survivor, because that's kind of top of mind for me. But that's where you can find me mostly on the internet other than my email list. But LizWilcox.com, check me out.
Nice. We're going to put Liz's links in the show notes for you guys. So we'll have her membership and the freebies. You said it's a welcome sequence template, subject lines, and what else was it?
And three newsletter samples directly from the membership to show you how to get people to click, buy, and reply from your newsletter.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you guys get that. And then I'll tell you guys what I do too, is I always find people I resonate with where I'm like, I like their marketing. I like how they do things. I like their business. And then I get on their email and their social media and I stalk them. And I just am like, what are they doing? What is Liz doing? What does she say in her emails? Like, I'm like, I want to know if somebody's getting, you better believe if I hear somebody's getting 100% buy rate on their wait list, I'm going to see if I could get on a wait list. I'm going to see if I could get on her email. So you guys definitely go stalk Liz. And I'm sure you'll learn a lot just watching what she does, getting her membership, getting all her stuff. Thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate you taking the time to come chat and share all your genius hot takes with us. And
yeah,
hopefully we'll
thank
have
you.
You back soon. Hopefully we're going to see you win a million on Survivor. We'll be about 9.
Oh, God, I hope so.
I hope so. All right. Well, thank you so much, Liz. Well, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, can't wait to see what everybody does with email. Thanks for having me.